Proverbs chapter number 4. The book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Proverbs is the great verse book on wisdom, and especially for young men. But it's for everybody. Proverbs chapter 4, we'll look at verse number 7. And this always verse has always meant a lot to me. Let's do just a little quick study of this verse here tonight. I'll give you three thoughts, and I'll be done. I'm not going to be long at all. You'll be surprised how brief I am tonight, because I just got a thought, and I'm going to give it to you. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. The number one, main thing for you to care about, kids. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Now, if the Bible says that, you better be figuring out how to get it. If God said that's the main thing you're supposed to get, you better figure out how to get it. Get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, wisdom. And she, wisdom, shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. I want to preach on that tonight. Wisdom, the best thing, or the principal thing. Now, I have to introduce the message tonight by saying, I've had people ask me, what is the difference between knowledge and wisdom? And knowledge is stored up facts and information. Knowledge is knowing stuff. Wisdom is the right use of that knowledge. Well, knowledge is knowing a bunch of stuff. Wisdom is knowing how to use it. In other words, you can have a lot of knowledge and no wisdom, and you can be a dangerous person. As one man said, he said, I wish I'd be happier if our leaders had less brains and more wisdom. That might be a good idea if they had more of the fear of God and more wisdom instead of just a bunch of knowledge. I'll illustrate it like this. Knowledge would be this guitar. Wisdom is knowing how to play it. See, if you don't, you ever heard somebody try to play it? It can get on your nerves. Somebody just banging around on a guitar like that and doing it like that. See, the wisdom is knowing how to use the guitar. A chainsaw is a tool. A chainsaw is a tool. That's knowledge. Wisdom is knowing how to start it and cut a tree down. You can do a lot of damage with a chainsaw if you don't know how to use it. If you don't have the wisdom to use the tool, you can hurt somebody else bad, tear up something, or yourself, cut your leg off, your foot off, just like that with a chainsaw. So you understand the difference. Wisdom is knowing how to use the saw. Knowledge would be the saw, the blade, the cut. It's got a lot of sharp blade on it. That's knowledge. Wisdom is knowing how to use it to make something happen that's good and right. Now, with that thought in mind tonight, let me give you three thoughts. I want you to keep your Bible open. We're going to turn to three verses. Number one, wisdom is better than military power. Turn in your Bible to Ecclesiastes. This is another wisdom book. Over to your right there, just a little ways, is Ecclesiastes. After Proverbs, you'll have Ecclesiastes. And look at chapter number 9. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. And look with me at verse number 18. An amazing, amazing verse of Scripture. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes 9:18. You got it? You there yet? Look at it. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. Wisdom and the not right use of knowing how to use your being able to use your knowledge right is better than tanks and guns and missiles and rockets and bombs. The Bible said you're better off to have wisdom than weapons of war. So wisdom is better. You remember the verse I read? Better to get wisdom. Wisdom is better than military power. They said years ago when President McKinley took office many years ago. Many of our early day presidents a long time ago were really, really God-fearing, Bible-believing people. And they made a statement, and President McKinley said, "Give me wisdom and knowledge. He told the Lord this. He said, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may know how to go out and come in before these people. He told the preacher, he said, I hope I shall have your sympathy and prayers of all you good people. He said, I want you people to pray for me that God would give me wisdom. It wasn't like, we'll go over to this party and you give me enough money, I'll get your votes, and I'll get enough money raised over here and I'll get your votes and I'll stay in power. No, it was, God give me wisdom to know how to make the right decision for this company. Have you ever heard of the famous Six-Day War back yonder in 1967 involving Israel and all the countries that were surrounding them? It was like one little bitty spot. You take Israel, the preacher mentioned this morning, a little spot on the map like that, and you had Sudan, Iraq, and Iran, and all these countries around it, and they were all ganging up. Egypt was all ganging up on Israel, and there was a time, brother, this has happened down through the centuries, that God, God's earthly people, Israel, and still are, by the way, still are, was in a jam. And the history said, you can read the story, you read the truth Christian story about it, that those Jews were in Israel, and they didn't know what to do. They were surrounded like, I don't know what the odds were, 101 or something like that. Just unbelievable amount of odds. And they said that they made the decision to attack. And they flew them military jets out of Israel and down in, I think, northern Egypt or somewhere, and bombed those places. And they said they flew them at the exact right moment when they was doing something or taking a break or on doing, they wasn't prepared for it. And they said if they'd done it earlier, it wouldn't have worked. If they'd have done it later, it wouldn't have worked. But Israel come out victorious in the famous Six-Day War in 1967. I think it was June 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, or 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th. Yeah. I think it was start on July, June or July, the 5th, and it's called the Six-Day War. And they said there was no way that they could have won. But the verse said, their Jewish Old Testament said, that wisdom is better than weapons of war. Listen, brother, we're short on it in our generation. We're living in a generation that puts all the emphasis on get an education, get an education, get an education, get an education. And you know how I believe about that. We don't need to go through all that again. There's nothing wrong with education. You ought to get all you can. You ought to do the best you can do in school. I get lied on about stuff like that. Brother Danny, don't believe. Well, you just ain't listening. You ought to get all you can all you get. And store it up and live, do the best you can. Nothing wrong with getting a good education, making a good living. That's all fine and well. But education without salvation is damnation. And any education that's against the Bible is of the devil. It's not of God. It's not right. And brother, that's not going to give you godly wisdom. You hear me? It's not going to do it. Like that kid said one time, the teacher asked the kid, they said, son, what is the definition of a vacuum? What is a vacuum? He said, well, I don't really know how to put it in words, but I got it up here. Like that. And that's the way so many of our kids are now. You heard the story where I don't know if I get this story right or not. I just heard it. Preacher was telling it. Something like, this guy was going to give these girls a prize if they made up 100 steps or something like that. You had to go up 100 steps and you had to tell them a joke for every step. And if they laughed, they was out of the game. So he had a blonde, a brunette. I've seen some of them. There was some purplettes here this morning. Pinkettes and all kinds of. But anyway, blonde, brunette, black haired lady, and blackhead just don't sound right. But anyway, they had these steps, and you tell them a joke, and if they laughed, they was out. So they told one. Finally, about on the 15th one, the brunette went, so you're out. And he told nothing. Black-headed girl, blonde-headed girl, they's on up about 30 or 40. Neither one of them laughed. And she went, you're out. That just left the blonde. Go up to 99. 99. At 100, they get a big reward. And on the 99th joke, she went, started laughing. They said, why'd you laugh now? And she said, I just got the first one. That reminds me of our generation without wisdom. Amen? That's right. I like that one that said there's two blondes walking down the road, and one of them said, "Look at that dog with one eye," and the other one went, "Yeah, that's our generation. A lot of education and no wisdom." Amen. I really liked one. I ain't going to get off on all that, but I thought a bunch of them. But I really liked one with a girl sitting there, and she's trying to put this puzzle together. And she calls her boyfriend, and she said, "You've got to come over and help me get this puzzle together." And he said, "Well, just work on it." And she said, "I'll help. It's all laying out here. I can't get one piece to fit." And he said, "Well, look at the picture on the box. Go by the picture on the box and just put it together." She said, "It is." And she said, he said, "What is it?" He said, "This is a big rooster on a farm." And he went over there, and finally she said, "Come over here and help me." And he finally walks in, he looked down there, and she's sitting there about to pull her hair out. And he said, "You idiot, put them cornflakes back in that box." It's like that. That's the generation that you and I are living in. Amen. That's right. The Bible said that wisdom is better. Listen, we're living in a dumb generation, brother. I kid you not. I mean, they know how to move them thumbs. Lord, they got the best acting thumbs of any generation in history. Brrr, them thumbs go 90 miles an hour, but ain't got a lick of sense, as the old folks say. And so, wisdom is better than military power. Now, I'm going to say secondly tonight, take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16, back a little ways there, and let's look at the second thought here this evening. I said number one, wisdom is better than military power. And God knows our country needs wisdom tonight. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our government. Pray for our president. Pray for our military leaders, the Army, the Navy, the Marines, all of them. Pray for them that God would give them enough sense to know what to do in this terrible time that we live in. Then look in Proverbs chapter 16 and look at verse number 16. And I want to say this. Wisdom is better than monetary power. Wisdom is better than monetary power. Look at 16:16. How much better, there's that word again, better, is it to get wisdom than gold? Ain't many people believe that. Ain't many people believe that. You're better off to get wisdom than gold. Like a lot of money and no sense. You know, there's one thing I always said I want to ask the Lord when I get to heaven is why the crazy people had the money. But I guess we won't worry about it then. But did you know the Bible said, 16:16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? Now, this right here is the book of wisdom. You want to get wisdom? Stick your nose in this book right here. You kids, all you young people, I challenge you, read Proverbs. Read Proverbs all the time. You can read one chapter in Proverbs and read it 12 times a year. One a day and read it 12 times a year, once a month. Only one chapter a day. And this book right here is wisdom. I heard where these two banks was exchanging money. You know how banks do sometimes? And they were going to transport big banks, like New York somewhere. And they were transporting a bunch of money, like from maybe Fort Knox to the banks or back and forth, something like that. And they said they had these big trucks, you know, them big armored trucks like Wells Fargo and stuff. $7 billion they were moving. $7 billion. That's a lot of money. A billion is 1,000 million. We hear it quoted on TV so much we don't think nothing about it. But if you had $1 million, you know, somebody say he's a millionaire, he's got 2 million, he's got 3 million, you have 1,000 million is 1 billion. And they had 7 billion. That's 7,000 million dollars. That's enough for us to make it a while. Amen. $7 billion moving it from one bank to the other. And they had armored guards and soldiers and cops and escort like you would not believe, buddy. They was guarding that stuff. Now the Bible says that wisdom is better than gold. What it ought to be, if a Bible is laying in here, people ought to be after it like there's after that $7 billion in them trucks. Man, you ought to have armed guards around that thing. Keep it, but people don't know that. People don't realize it. They don't realize that when it comes right down to it, is more important than all the gold in the world. Listen, people, I know you kids, sometimes you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, well, how long is this going to last? Well, what's he going to preach about? Let me tell you something, buddy. You listen to me. The day's going to come. The day's going to come when what we're talking about here tonight and what we're doing here this evening will be all that matters when you're getting ready to check out and leave this world. The other day, when that helicopter crashed, when Kobe Bryant got killed, and that was a sad, sad thing. Sad thing. My heart, I felt so sorry for his wife and those other kids. How sad and terrible that was. And everywhere I went this week, people was talking about it. And I believe the Lord used it to get a hold of some of them guys. I think someone got shook up a little bit. I was, old Charles Barkley is even, and Shaq was crying, and all them guys. And I said, hallelujah. I pray God use this bad situation. Maybe get some guys' eyes open and get them saved. I don't know about the situation with Kobe. I've had people send me stuff. They said he was a Catholic and he did believe in Jesus. He talked about carrying his cross. And I hope and pray to God. I'm not to judge him at all, at all. May God have mercy on his family and may God have mercy on them. But I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to use this for a point. I said he's worth $600 million. And I'm telling you that night, that morning when that helicopter was going down. Are you listening to me? You listen, kids? That helicopter's going down. That money didn't mean one thing. That fame did not mean one thing. Not one thing. And I'm not happy about that. It's terrible. It's awful. I hate that happened. I'm simply using an illustration. It wouldn't have mattered if you'd have had $5 or $500 million. When it comes your time to leave this world, wisdom is better than gold. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It sure is. Old Cecil Rhodes on land and in Africa. And when he died, when he's getting ready to die, he said, I have diamonds, I have gold, and I have land. He said, I must leave it all. I actually have nothing. Andrew Carnegie, the famous millionaire, said, wealth takes the smiles away. Wealth takes the smiles away. Nothing wrong with money. If God blesses you with a lot of money, I'll be happy for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's nothing sinful about it. But wisdom is better. I'd rather know that I know that I know where I'm going when I leave here and not have 15 cents in my pocket than to own the bank mortgaging and die without God. Wisdom is better than gold. Job 28 and verse 18 said the price of wisdom is above rubies. Proverbs 8 and verse 11 said wisdom is better than rubies. All things that thou canst cannot be compared to her. Better is it to get wisdom than gold. They said when the Titanic was sinking, you hear all kinds of stories about that. They said one guy had a treasure chest that had money in it, and everybody was grabbing stuff and screaming and hollering and jumping on lifeboats and screaming to the top of their lungs. It wasn't like music playing all romantic like the movie. I mean, that was a nightmare, brother. It's freezing cold and people screaming and hollering and cussing and begging to God, crying out to God. And they said a guy left that treasure in that thing and picked up 3 oranges and took them with him. Is there going to come a time when 3 oranges mean more to you than a treasure chest full of money? Listen, buddy, you can't eat money. You can't eat it. And when it fails, and you have no appetite, and you're dying with cancer, money can't help you. Wisdom is better than monetary power. Number 3, and I'm through. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, one more time. And we'll be done. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. I said first, wisdom is better than military power. I said second, wisdom is better than monetary power. Finally, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 13, wisdom is better than mental power. Look at verse 13. And I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This is sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. He said it's better off to have wisdom than just mental power. Experience is not what happens to you. People say, well, I haven't had a lot of experience. Experience ain't what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens to you. You learn anything? Are you smarter? Are you better? Are you more whole? Our generation says, just believe in yourself. Just believe it. I get so sick of hearing that. I just drives me crazy when I hear all these people tell their kids, John, hey, you can do it. You can do it. You're the greatest, honey. You can do it. You're the most beautiful. You know, why are you lying to that kid? You know, he ain't the most beautiful and she ain't the most great. You think if I keep telling him to think positive thoughts, you know what you better tell him? Say, listen, you ain't no better than nobody else. You're a sinner, needs God, and whatever you've got, the Lord give it to you. We all ought to be in hell if we got what we deserve. You're a whole lot better off telling the truth and be honest about their situation. I think people ruin their little girls by making princesses out of all of them from the time they're 4 years old and they're dressing like a hussy time they're nine. And next thing you know, they're wanting to be on Dance Moms or some wicked something or another like that. And I'm telling you something, buddy, wisdom is better than mental power. Just believe in yourself, my foot. Positive thinking ain't going to get you nowhere when it comes time to leave this world. Amen? I've heard people say, everybody's beautiful. I'm saying, what? They ain't hardly nobody beautiful. You been to Walmart lately? You might see one pretty person out of 500. Amen? The Lord must like ugly people. He made a lot of us, didn't he? But we're flawed. That's what's wrong with us. We're flawed. Listen, it's better than mental power. Listen, two men lived here in this country. One of them built a multi-million, billion-dollar empire off a pornographic magazine, Playboy, named Hugh Hefner. And for many, many years, old Hugh Hefner, boy, he was a king of Hollywood. And everybody thought, wow, Hef, wow, would you like to be there? Man, Hef got me. He was the Emmy, and everybody wanted to go to the Playboy Mansion, and everybody on them movie stars, they thought, oh my goodness, wouldn't that be wonderful, that lifestyle? He's got four girlfriends, and they're all, there's another man named Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday had the baseball. He set the record, I think it's for the Chicago White Sox, one of them teams, running the bases, running barefooted. You could do it back then. And he set the record for running the bases in his bare feet. And Billy Sunday went to the, out there at the Pacific Garden Mission one time and I got saved and started preaching. And he gave up a tremendous salary, what was tremendous back then, and quit baseball and started preaching. And he started preaching. He influenced by Mordecai Ham, who influenced Billy Graham there in Charlotte, and the rest is history. And Billy Sunday preached all of them. There was a time back in the 20s, long in there, Billy Sunday was the premier evangelist in America. And he'd run, preach with his shirt tails hanging out, and his sleeves rolled up, and he'd break chairs and run back and forth across the pulpit. They said he wrote his notes in big old letters, big old boxcar letters like that. And somebody said, preacher, why do you write your notes so big? He said, so I can read them when I run past the pulpit. I mean, brother, he was very animated and very, he preached, get on the water wagon. And he's the one that preached against the alcohol industry. And he said, I want to get America so dry, you have to prime a man before he could spit. He preached against alcohol. He said, it's of the devil. It's straight from hell. Send it all back to hell where it came from. And they hated him. Elmer Gantry, that book that they wrote, movie they made, was a mockery of the evangelist Billy Sunday. The world hated him. But they said Billy Sunday, they'd go build him big old tabernacles. And they said, that fella shook hands, put his hand in the hand of a million converts that walked that sawdust trail. Hugh Hefner died. Billy Sunday died. Now, which one of them would you rather be right now? A man who spent his life preaching and people getting saved. Or a man that spent his money ruining the lives of young people and marriages and morals of a nation. I hope Hugh Hefner got saved. I ain't got nothing against him. I'm telling you about it. He's going to have hell to pay someday, somehow. Wisdom is better. Acts chapter 6 and verse 10 said they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which they spoke. Paul said, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Our generation of preachers needs to learn that. It's not with enticing words of man's wisdom. You hear a lot of these preachers nowadays, and they sound like some kind of philosopher or some kind of TED talk, some fool, something or another like that. Or something like on a talk show, say, oh yeah, and Jesus is cool, man. It's just awesome, man. And God just loves you so much, man. It's awesome. You know, I mean, and Paul said, my preaching was not with enticing words, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Conviction, buddy. Conviction. Make you feel bad for sinning. Make you want to get your heart right. That's real preaching and wisdom.
Amen.
Them old preachers had that kind of wisdom. The old preachers had that wisdom. You've heard my stories. Said years ago there was somebody back in the old days they had little communities where everybody in the community come to church on Saturday night and stuff, you know. And there's a chicken thief in the community. Somebody had been stealing chickens. And nobody couldn't find out who it was. So the preacher got up that Saturday night, old man of God, he prayed up and he said, all right. He said, there's a chicken thief in here tonight. And he said, in just a moment, the Lord is going to reveal to us who the chicken thief is. Everybody went, oh man, God's going to tell him. He pulled out a big old rock out under the pulpit, lays there, big, looked like a bowling ball. He said, in just a minute, God is going to speak to me from heaven and reveal who the chicken thief is. And I shall take that rock and bust him in the head with it. Everybody went, whoa. He laid out there, he's got the preaching. He got in a big way. He was running back and forth. He's screaming and hollering. He said, and now the Lord will reveal the chicken thief. And he grabbed that rock and he ran back like that. And one fellow back there ducked like that. You don't get that in seminary. See, you don't read that in a book. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Another one, I think Bob Jones, one of them guys, they said years ago, they just come to their little meetings. They didn't have a big high platform like this. They was down here almost eye level. Back when women wore them big old hats. Remember saying all the women wore the big hats. They thought that made you more holy or something. I ain't got nothing against them. I mean, it looked like an umbrella, man. The whole family walked out there when it was raining. But you couldn't see. And we had hat day one time over at the old building. I don't know if any of y'all remember it. Y'all remember that? Hat day. This woman wore Coca-Cola cans. They was all put together all over her head. I'm not lying. Somebody came to me and said, Brother Danny, look at that woman's head. Look at her. She's got Coca-Cola cans on her head. I said, she does, don't she? And everybody was cracking up. I mean, y'all remember that and seen that in real life, okay? But anyway, they wore them big old hats. And the preacher got up and he said, ladies, if you don't mind, so people behind you can see, would you please remove your hats while I preach? And they all took them down like that, you know, except one woman. She just sat there like, I'm not taking my hat off of you. You're not going to tell me what to do. I'll leave my hat on. He said, thank you very much, ladies. I appreciate that. He said, I was preaching the other day somewhere, and I asked all the ladies to remove their hats, and all of them did, except for one. Of course, she was bald-headed. And that woman went, that's smooth, man. That's smooth. That's pretty smooth. Some of them old preachers had more wisdom. They didn't have a lot of education, but they could outsmart you. You know what I'm saying? That's smooth. Better than mental power. Better than mental power. Now, years ago, there's a lady, and I'll tell you this, and I'm done. A young woman wanted to be a missionary to Mexico, really bad. She had a terrible burden for the Mexican people, Spanish people in Mexico. And she wanted to go, and her heart was just on fire. She couldn't talk. She couldn't quote scripture without putting the Spanish, Mexican people in there. She quote like, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love for the Mexican people, I am become a sounding brass and things like that. It's all, everywhere she went, everything she did, everything, like somebody getting obsessed over a bus ministry and saying, I'm gonna do it! And like that, she was just obsessed with winning those Mexicans to the Lord. Well, she went. And she won many of them to the Lord. She really did. People thought she's crazy. Give up everything here in this country. Give up a good job, house, everything. I go to Mexico and talk to people all the time. And she went. And she won a lot of them to the Lord. And it wasn't long until she got really sick. And she's dying. And all of her converts come in, gathered around her bed. And they said, she ain't got long. And she said, don't bring no flowers. I want no flowers. Bring New Testaments and Bibles. And they all went out and got all the New Testaments and Bibles they could buy everywhere and find everywhere and stacked them around her casket when she died. And they took them Bibles, her converts took them Bibles and put them out all over town to help win more people to the Lord. That woman had wisdom. That's what you do with your life, people. That's what you do with your life. You say, how do you know that? He that winneth souls is wise. You know why? I said something one time about on Mother's Day, and I said, I love my mother, but the Lord's done more for me than my mother. And somebody wrote an awful email and said, how could you possibly say that? The Lord ain't done nothing for you for my than your mother. He sure has. I mean, my mother loved me, but Jesus died for me to keep me out of hell. Jesus done more for you than your mother or daddy or everybody else put together. People say, how could you waste your life trying to help people that don't even want to hear it? No way. You ain't wasting it. You ain't wasting it. Every door you knock on, helping that guy this morning, every track you give out, every time you go on a bus, every time you help a bus kid teach a Sunday school class, sing a song, you are not wasting your time. That's wisdom. Wisdom is better than mental power. Let's stand with our heads bowed. I'm done. Let's all bow our head in prayer. Miss Desi, come and play something soft for just a minute. And we're going to pray and let you go tonight. Maybe you just say, Lord, help me get wisdom, Lord. Help me get wisdom. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, that you'd give every one of us wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Help us to get it. We do pray. We love you tonight. We pray the Holy Ghost come down and do a great and mighty work in every heart here this evening. I pray for every young person here tonight that you'd give them the wisdom to know what to do with their life. The decisions they got to make. God, help them not to make stupid decisions. Help them to use wisdom that comes from the Holy Ghost. Please, Lord, help them, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd bless mamas and daddies here tonight. Use wisdom on where to work, where to live, all the things they gotta choose. God, please help us to make decisions with your glory in mind, putting you first in everything. Lord, bless everybody this week. Give them a safe week. Bring us all back here Wednesday night for a great time. We'll thank you for it and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen.